This is Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Southwest Florida's own guitar phenom John Housley returns to the WGCU studios upon the release of his brand new album of beautiful music in the flamenco nuevo style titled Dance of Ghosts. We first featured Housley on the show in 2018 after the release of his first solo album of flamenco nuevo guitar music titled The Heart's Furnace. Songs on both of these albums demonstrate Housley's high level of technical ability and precision, blended with a depth of musicality and virtuosity that makes for some truly remarkable recordings. Both albums are available through iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music, on YouTube, so just about anywhere online you purchase or stream your music. You can also learn more about him on his website, johnhousley.net. John first picked up the guitar at the age of 14, and by 16, he was already teaching others at a local music store. He studied classical guitar and music theory with professors at the University of Michigan, Eastern Michigan University, and the University of Omaha. He founded the Ann Arbor Academy of Music, which averaged some 400 students per week under his leadership. In 1995, John joined the multi-platinum southern rock band Blackfoot, which first brought him to Southwest Florida. In 2001, he moved to Omaha, Nebraska to study classical guitar and found his way back to Southwest Florida in 2003, where he's continued to make a name for himself in a broad spectrum of music circles and where he continues to delight audiences of musical interests across the genre spectrum. John Housley, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition.
Thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be here again.
And this is a pre-recorded conversation, so we won't be taking calls, but we still want to hear from listeners. Connect with us with your comments and questions. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. John, let's go ahead and start things off with a song from the new album. First, tell us what we're going to hear and tell us a little bit about it by way of introduction.
Breath That Forms the Word is going to be the first song. And this one starts off, it's the title is kind of all you have to draw on with the, you know, instrumental music. And with this one, the title kind of for me is the idea that, like, when we speak, even that is borrowed. Without the air, we can't. You know, so there's so many times where we think we're so autonomous, but even something as simple as a phrase of friendship or love or frustration is all borrowed. So it starts off with the kind of a heartbeat, kind of upright bass feeling, then goes into that tension of...
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. Thank you.
That was Breath That Forms the Word, a song from the brand new album of flamenco nuevo style guitar music from our guest today, Southwest Florida's own John Housley. The album is titled Dance of Ghosts. Stay tuned for more music from the album throughout our conversation today. And first of all, John, tell us about the title of the album. Is there a special meaning behind why you chose Dance of Ghosts?
Yeah, Dance of Ghosts was the title song, which we're going to be getting to later, and borrowed on that image from the Mexican holiday, Day of the Dead. You know, and you have, as I understand, you have three deaths: the physical death, the death at which your body is buried, and the death at which nobody remembers you. And so that, in that interim between the second and the third, there's that space where, you know, I'm of an age to where, you know, I've lost family and friends, so these people are still with me, and they dance in that space of memory. And so it's that image of a dance of ghosts, that your memories, and then also the images of that holiday is how they celebrate.
Yeah.
The dead are actually alive with them. So that's kind of the image borrowed.
Well, it's a beautiful concept, John. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the timing of the release of this album just at the end of last month, just as the Dia de los Muertos Halloween season begins. Was that intentional or just kind of a happy accident?
I was trying to get this album finished a couple of months prior. So the delays have worked out to be a good timing.
Yeah, advantageous after all. All right. And we did explore this a bit when you were first on the show more than a year ago now. But just to review, can you give us a bit of a primer on sort of the roots of the flamenco nuevo style and what distinguishes the genre? Because I had always, in my mind, linked it to being rooted in Spanish culture, but you were informing me it actually goes back further than that, to the Middle East.
Yeah, that's my understanding, and that's where when you listen to, you know, especially the authentic flamenco, you get to hear that Middle Eastern tone to it. But my understanding in it was that it was, as it migrated across, it really took legs in Spain as the guitar started coming as a prominent instrument, and then kind of gave that birth to that cultural flamenco style. So that's where if we look at that, kind of that genealogy, there's a thread that keeps moving back and moving back. So, but yeah, that's been my understanding of it. And you can kind of get that, you know, there's times even where it borrows a lot on the harmonic minor scale, which kind of gives you that Egyptian feel.
Yeah.
So it's got strong roots in that.
All right. Did you know back when you were producing, the first album of music in this style, The Heart's Furnace, that you'd be doing a second album? Like, were there songs that maybe, like, didn't get on the first album but were always kind of simmering on the back burner for you?
Yeah, I love the genre. You know, it's kind of because I love playing classical guitar, that the guitar is tactile. You know, there's no plectrum. It's all just hands, fingers, on the strings. So that, I love that style, and flamenco is kind of the fiery side of classical as far as technique and such. So I definitely wanted to do another one, but there were no songs that were residual or that didn't make the cut. You know, everything that's done goes on. So I started working on this project probably back in February or March, and it's just, this one fought me a little more than the first one. The first one kind of fell out a little easier. But it was timing, and, you know, there's a lot of changes that were going on personally, so trying to make the time for it.
Does this album include pieces that weren't necessarily originally composed for the guitar and maybe had to be, like, reworked in some way?
No, this was all, everything here was just my interpretation, borrowing from the flamenco style to bring, you know, from the title, use that as an emotional anchor to draw on, and then just go.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear our second song from the new album. Once again, I'll ask you to tell us what we're going to hear and give us a little bit of an introduction.
Okay, this song is Road and the Stranger, and it's kind of, for me emotionally, was looking at, you know, like if you head out, hit the road, don't know where you're going, you know, and it becomes an experience of You know, everything is a stranger to you. And it can also be changes in your personal life to where that road could be your life, and you might even find yourself being the stranger. And so that's the image that I was kind of borrowing from.
Yeah, interesting, because life on the road is certainly something you are not a stranger to. We can get into that later. Let's go ahead and hear the song. Road and the Stranger from the brand new album of flamenco nuevo guitar music titled Dance of Ghosts from Southwest Florida's own John Housley, our in-studio guest today. John, thanks so much for bringing this to us again.
Oh, the pleasure's mine. Thank you again.
Some of the songs on the first album seemed to invoke, you know, more of a broader generalized feeling or sense of place, like Morning Call. And then others seem to tackle like these heavier themes, like mm-hmm. Sophia's Dilemma. And I'm kind of getting the impression that this new album kind of follows that same idea where, you know, the songs can kind of cross that spectrum in terms of what inspires them or what they invoke.
Yes. Yeah. And also the four songs that we're playing are a little more on the intenser side, but there's also songs on the album like Love Smiles and Daydreams, mm-hmm. Daydream, where it's more of a, you know, an introspective. And the last song is a very introspective song that kind of complements this up-tempo.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too extremely technical here, but mm-hmm. aside from the acoustic electric difference, what are some of the features that distinguish the style of guitar that you would use for playing songs in an album like this versus the more conventional guitars most of us are probably more familiar with?
Yeah, with flamenco guitar, you're going to be using rascale, which is a technique where you're actually using the back of the nail flailing the fingers across the strings. And the piccato technique, which is going to be more of a melodic soloing as opposed to like with classical guitar where it would be counterpoint melodies, this is going to be more of a, you know, there's two guitars most of the time through the material, one carrying the rhythm and one playing the melody tops. And so, yeah, the techniques are going to be very similar to classical guitar, but adding the back of the nail with the riscale.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, you know, you were 14 when you first picked up the guitar. At what point did you first pick up a classical guitar? And is it difficult at first to transition, or are they, you know, anatomically speaking, similar enough that you can go back and forth? If you can do one, you can do the other.
Yeah, they're completely different animals.
Okay.
So, yeah, I picked up classical guitar when I was 15.
Relatively soon.
Yeah, okay. A lot of it was I knew I want to play guitar for the rest of my life. And if I want to do that, I need to be able to try to figure out how to make a living with it and to be diversified. So, you know, started working on classical guitar and jazz guitar. And classical guitar was totally different, though, because you're not using the pick. And so everything's from the hands. And it's really easy to develop bad techniques, which after a couple years of bad techniques, you get muscle memory, and trying to correct those can really be daunting.
Yeah, easier to learn it the right way rather than to adjust a bad habit.
Yeah, and I learned some bad habits. That's where, like, I was in my 40s when I was in Omaha, and my teacher, Hadley Hayden, was like, you know, we're going to have to start all over. And so he told me, don't play any of your repertoire, and, you know, basically started from the ground up, rebuilding it. And it's been the hardest thing I've probably ever done. It was classical guitar, especially the piccato technique, to try to get that up to where you're playing 16th notes at, you know, 150 beats, 160 beats a minute, which is what's going to allow you that kind of articulation for flurries, you know, to do it gracefully, which I don't always do it gracefully, but it's fun to do. So,
yeah, a lot of work to build up those chops. I find it remarkable that at such an early age and so soon into learning the guitar, you made this conscious decision. Because there are people who are very successful musicians who never explore that.
Yeah, I was at that age. I was very conscious of an end game in, you know, trying to figure out what are you going to do later in your years, you know, because playing at the time, you know, loving playing Zeppelin and Rush, I didn't really think that, you know, when I get into my 50s, 60s, 70s, hopefully my 80s, that's really going to be a plausible way to, you know, to make a living. So, and that's also, you know, I started teaching when I was young, you know, and I have always carried on teaching it because I love sharing the experience, going through the fundamentals, you know, and sharing the journey with people who are passionate about it too. So,
before you had picked up the guitar, had you developed an interest in classical music, like as a young child?
You know, actually, I never really listened to music at all.
Really?
I stumbled on guitar. My parents were divorced, and every other weekend I would spend the weekend with my father, and you know, so it was just going over to my father's house, not knowing any kids in the area, having nothing to do, and he had a guitar in the closet. And one day I said, hey, can you teach me how to play this? And so he showed me some chords, and then I spent the rest of the time, at, you know, driving my stepmother crazy until it was time to go home again. And from that point on, it was all over. You know, I instantly started scratching all my sister's records, trying to figure out, you know, Eagles tunes, you know, songs from the back in the 70s. So,
Well, let's talk about making this album. Was this self-produced in your home studio like The Heart's Furnace was?
Yeah. Real low budget, you know, in my little studio area there, and had Scott Smith do the upright bass, and Steve Reich, he did all the fretless work on the other. There's like, I think Scott, the uprights on like four songs, and then Steve's on the other five.
And Steve was on the first album
as well.
Yeah,
he did the whole first album, but this one, he had some time constraints, so it was really nice to have Scott Smith come in and pick up the slack, and did a phenomenal job. And it's also nice having the flavor of the upright bass. So yeah, it's a big learning experience, you know, because you're recording it yourself, so you're engineering, you're producing it, you're mastering it, and there's a lot of mistakes that were made, but you learn, and you know, the learning curve is good, and hopefully. You know.
Was it easier just the second time around, just because it was the second time around?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, next time I'll apply the things I learned on this, you know, especially in the mastering end of things, you know, so I'll, the next one should be better.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and hear our third tune, and this is actually the title track of John Housley's new album, Dance of Ghosts. Was the title track from the new album of flamenco nuevo guitar music from John Housley, titled Dance of Ghosts. Once again, today's show is not a live broadcast, so we aren't taking calls, but listeners can still connect with us on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. Now, John, the last time we had talked, you had mentioned you were in the early stages of seeking out venues that would be a good fit for, you know, more of the classical style music and maybe not so much of the hard rock, southern rock that you had been doing with bands. How has that search gone? It seems like things have gone pretty well.
Yeah. Doing a lot of country clubs, the Ritz-Carlton.
Is that a standing gig at the Ritz?
I'm usually there anywhere from 2 to 5-6 times a month.
Okay, so pretty regular.
Yeah. It's just beautiful there. So.
All right. Yeah. And, you know, Naples is the only city where I would have to make this distinction because I don't know of any other city that has two Ritz-Carltons. But which one are you at?
You do the both. I do both.
You do both. Okay.
But the beach resort is, I'm usually there more often.
Okay. I know you also perform locally with a fellow musician, Paul Daguerre. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
You got it right.
The Heavy Pour Troubadours is the name of the duo. That's a fun name.
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
We've been friends forever. And at the time, it was the Gulf Shore restaurant was wanting me to perform. So I was performing classical and it just wasn't a fit. And they said, listen, we need something. So
change it up. Yeah.
I don't sing. My buddy Paul does sing, and we've been wanting to do a project together forever. We worked together on the Sacred Silver project, which is like a progressive rock kind of a project, and then we started doing the beach and doing like an unplugged classic rock to new stuff, and so we've just been carrying that on. It's been about a year now that we've been doing it, a year and a half, and so we perform probably about maybe half a dozen times a month.
All right. And of course, teaching has been, a huge part of your music life from the beginning.
Right.
Is that something you still find time to do?
Yeah, I teach. I have a teaching day one day a week. I teach. I usually have about 10 students. Someone leaves, someone comes seeking a teacher. And so usually, 10 people on that teaching day. And it's just great to, again, to be able to share the journey, the techniques, the ideas, and to watch the ahas and the light bulbs go off. So.
And has your work with these two albums, both The Heart's Furnace and Dance of Ghosts, kind of motivated any of your students to maybe start exploring that side of music?
Yeah, not so much. Everybody kind of has direction that they're comfortable with, and we facilitate them. It's all about them. And right now, I don't even have a classical student.
Oh, okay. Do you generally, when you're teaching, teaching students how to play songs like through guitar tablature, or is there also a music theory element to music with you?
I do a lot of theory because there's so many resources. If you want to find out how to play a song, you go on YouTube and you're going to find thousands of tutorials. So we'll use that for ear training. Let's work on this song. Don't find a video. And then we can work on that together. But a lot of it is the things that you can't resource out. And that's the question, whatever the question is, and then we can try to facilitate that and develop it and understand it so you can understand the functions, how it works, the architecture of music.
What are your thoughts on, all this? Because it extends so far beyond music. Like, I learned how to change out a headlight in my old car one time through a YouTube video. Right. Basically, everything is out there. But all these tutorials, on the one hand, I think it could be great because it gives so many people who wouldn't just have access to a teacher like you something. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, are you worried about, the bad habits these kids might be learning, just learning from the video?
Right. That's the one thing that a good instructor can give you is that that dialogue, of, wait a minute, are you aware of what you're doing here? And so it's always good to have someone, you're not going to learn how to become a martial artist by watching videos, and it's really kind of the same thing. It's great. It's a great resource, and I would lean on it heavily. And then, go to other resources for the things that falls short on.
Right. Well, that is about all the time we have for today's show. And we are going to go out with one last song. But first, I want to thank our guest, Southwest Florida's own guitarist extraordinaire, John Housley. He's just released a second album of guitar music in the flamenco nuevo style called Dance of Ghosts. His first album of flamenco nuevo guitar music, The Heart's Furnace, came out in 2018. And you can find both through iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music, YouTube. So just about anywhere online you purchase or stream your music. You can also learn more about him and maybe even book him for your next event at his website, johnhousley.net. John, thanks so much for coming back. Great to reconnect with you.
Thank you so much, John, for having me. Pleasure to be here.
And our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. And John, tell us what we're going to hear to take us out today.
Yeah, the last song we're going to listen to is Bull and the Banderillas. The Banderillas is the matador's the little spear weapon that he'll use for the bull. So it's that tension of, you know, we all find ourselves in situations that we didn't necessarily realize we were putting ourselves in. So this is kind of a play on that tension of, you know, being in a situation that isn't necessarily a comfortable one.
All right. Well, let's listen.